You're listening to DWB Podcast. It's going to be a real quick SmackDown recap. Not a lot happened tonight, so let's just go over what happened real quick, and then we'll give our party thoughts. So, we had the first thing was, you know, just opening segment. Then we went to crashed commercial break, came back, and they had already started fighting for the tag team championship, where Alpha Team and the Mysterios, Ziggler, Rude, and the Street Profits were all in the tag team match together. They tried. I mean, I'll give them that. I feel bad for everybody that's in this matchup because, well, except for the Mysterios. Nobody cares about them. But I feel bad for Dolph Ziggler, Rude, Otis, Chad Gable, and the Street Profits. I felt like they deserved to be on the WrestleMania card. Instead, they're on SmackDown. It's kind of a bummer. It was an okay match. You know, it was really the only thing to really write home about as far as tonight. Out of everything that happened tonight, this was about the only thing that was really worth watching. So if you want to go out of your way, I would recommend you to go watch this matchup. But Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode stole this one. It was, you know, one of those things where everybody's doing moves and everything's getting done. And in the, like, the chaos, they came into the ring and stole one where everybody was somewhat distracted. You know, all in all, I think the worst part about this is that Dolph and Rude didn't really win strong. They kind of more won by hook or crook. I know they're heels, but you'd rather them come out of this with a clean victory, with no question marks to kind of define them as like a strong tag team. Instead, they escaped from this by the skin of their teeth. But it was a decent match. And then we had Belair backstage interviewing. She admits she has nerves, but that she basically will overcome these nerves to win at WrestleMania. Not a bad promo. I like the fact that they actually had somebody do a promo talking about nerves and not doing like the old school, like where we don't have nerves, more like being honest and being like, no, I do have some nerves. It is my first WrestleMania. So yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I liked it. It was something different than what they normally do. Then we had Tamina versus Nia, which was a surprise. I don't think anybody thought that there was going to be another match tonight. They pretty much thought it was going to be the Battle Royal and the tag team match, but we got a surprise match between Tamina and Nia. It was okay. It wasn't anything to write home about, but it was okay. But really, this was only to kind of lead us into the next segment, which is where Riot Squad, for some reason, is being interviewed backstage, which I was like flabbergasted by. And they talked about how they've been losing and how they're actually more united than ever. Cue Billy Kay. At this point, Kamala is standing next to her. Kamala cuts like a little bit of a promo explaining why she's tagging with Billy Kay. It wasn't a very good reason. I didn't believe it from the character's viewpoint. And they are doing the thing where she clearly doesn't really want to have to tag with her, but she's kind of using her. Whatever. Like, okay. Like, I guess they felt like they needed to have Kamala on WrestleMania, I guess. I think she would have actually been better off just not getting the payday. I don't know if she gets done any favors being included in this matchup. Oh, I forgot. Tamina won by DQ because Baszler interfered. Whoops. Anyways, it wasn't really all that important. And they did the exact same segment they did on Raw after Kamala spoke. Everybody kind of interrupted, and even Ruby Riott said that, are we really seriously doing this again? So, WWE at this point has just given up on coming up with fresh things to do. They just repeat things now, especially when it comes to women. Just no thought, no nothing. Just, hey, if it worked over there, let's just find a way to do the same thing, but just do it slightly different. Okay, I mean, you know, they keep doing this. I see like their ratings dropping more and more and more. I mean, it's really insulting. I mean, they're not even trying. And I mean, not going to try before WrestleMania. Then I have no faith that you could do another year of booking. after WrestleMania, because we all know, like, the after the Raw, the first Raw after WrestleMania, normally a big one, but then they go right back to not trying. But they're not even trying leading up to WrestleMania this year. I know a lot of people are expressing doubt that they're going to try hard on the Raw after WrestleMania. Dude, if this is the way they're going to book, man, it's going to be a really hard time for me to review these shows. It's not enjoyable. They need some new writers. They need some fresh minds. They need some people who can contribute some different things. Because this whole like repeating stuff is dumb. Right? And then you have Edge come in. He comes out. They go to break. We come back from break. Edge is sitting in a chair in a darkened ring. It cuts an awesome promo. This is the, like, by far the most enjoyable thing of SmackDown tonight for me. The match was okay, but, like, this was way the best segment. Edge cut a phenomenal promo, and I really like this. I mean, Edge may not be the performer he once was in ring, but he is 10 times the performer outside of it that he ever was. And in WWE right now, that stands out a lot. I mean, you can find a lot of wrestlers in the WWE locker room who, if they were allowed to, could go and tear the house down in ring, but you stick a microphone in their hand, they're not interesting in the least. I don't know, Edge did really, really well. Then we got a Sasha interview. Didn't like it. I don't feel like it added any heat between her and Belair. I don't think it made Sasha look more like a star. I don't think it helped her get over, like, as a heel. For me, it comes off more as, like, go-away heat. I don't like her heel persona. And then we had the Andre Battle Royal. I'll skip the eliminations. I did keep track of them, but I think you guys would just go absolutely nuts if I recapped every single elimination. Jey Uso won. I was kind of surprised. You know, I thought, like, with... when Corbin was in there, I was like, okay, probably going to be Corbin. He was in the last, like, five. But then it kind of looked like maybe they might let Shinzaki win. I was kind of like, okay, like, I don't get it, but all right. But then out of nowhere, you know, Jey Uso won. And it made sense with the next segment. You know, all in all, it wasn't a bad battle royal. It just wasn't, like, a great battle royal. They really didn't do a whole lot of spots, and there really wasn't, like, that much interesting about it. Yeah, this was largely missable, and this was basically the main event tonight. Roman Reigns comes out. He cuts a promo. This is your last final word on the go-home edition of SmackDown. He acknowledges that he rescued Paul, and he made Jey a star. Now Jey has gold, I guess referring to the Andre Battle Royal trophy. And, you know, he says all kind of things about, like, how Edge is a dreamer, but he's going to crush his dreams. He's going to end them at WrestleMania. You know, typical, like, Roman Reigns promo lately. It was a lot different of an approach than Edge. Edge was, like, had, like, a lot of elements of anger outbursts, like, throughout it with some quiet parts. This was just like a calmly delivered promo with confidence and, like, the usual bravado that he kind of carries in his body when he's speaking. You know, all in all, for him to have the final word was, I guess, fitting since he's the champion. I did find it interesting that Daniel Bryan did not speak tonight. I assume maybe there was some kind of segment initially when SmackDown opened, because I missed, like, the opening couple minutes. And by the time I turned on the TV at, like, 8:05, we were already going into the tag team match. I usually, if you tune in, like, about 10 minutes after 8, you catch the tail end of whatever they're doing as far as, like, a talking segment. I would have assumed that that would, but, like, 5 minutes is not that long. But I'll assume that at some point Brian got to talk. So all three guys got to talk before the end of the night, and it was what it was. I thought Edge shined the most. Roman Reigns is probably Finn's character. I'll say that much. I think what's interesting is Raw felt more like they were trying to add heat to matches going into WrestleMania. SmackDown was a lot more promo heavy with a few matches that couldn't make the cut to the WrestleMania card, which is an interesting usage of TV time, especially over 2 hours. They really phoned this one in. And, you know, there wasn't anything in the promos as good as Edge's was or anything like that that really added anything substantial to storylines going into WrestleMania. So this was basically them saying they were content with the work they've done up to this point, and I disagree. I did not like this. I haven't liked the build the whole time. I don't feel like they built any of the stories really well. And SmackDown was largely not even an attempt to do anything additional. So thumbs down for me. So let's get our predictions for WrestleMania out of the way. So night one, we have the WWE Championship match. Bobby Lashley, your champion, taking on Drew McIntyre. I think it's pretty clear. Drew McIntyre is going to win. It'll be a three-time champion in like no time at all. It'll be crazy. I think, you know, they should maybe stay with Lashley. I don't think they anticipated like how over he was, but they've showed that somebody catching on like that, or at least being accepted in their new role by people, doesn't sway them if they have a plan. Let me explain. Apollo Crews, they changed his whole character, yet didn't give him the Intercontinental title, when it probably would have really helped the character if they had. So I just don't see them moving off of Drew and having Drew keep this belt, get this belt back and defend it for a little while, and then maybe eventually put it, maybe have a transitional champion somewhere in there, and maybe try to find a way to put it back on Bobby Lashley. They just seem like once they make up their mind, they're not really going to change it. I think it would make a lot more sense to keep the belt on Lashley. Second matchup, your SmackDown Women's Championship match. Sasha Banks, your champion, taking on Bianca Belair. I think it's pretty clear that Bianca Belair is going to win this matchup. It's very rare for somebody to win the Royal Rumble, come in as a babyface, and lose. It's exceedingly rare in WWE history. I think they do need to move on from Sasha. I'm not impressed with her as champion. They need a fresh face with the belt. Bianca Belair is that. There's a lot of, you know, if they could build some people with a little bit of credibility, you know, she could be a good champion. What scares me is I don't see a lot of people who have a lot of credibility for Bianca Belair, the face. I just don't. And that should scare a lot of people who are looking forward to her winning. You know, a champion is only as good as the people that they can make to go up against her to make her shine more. I mean, it's what made Hulk Hogan who he was. I mean, Andre the Giant, Randy Savage made him just as much as Hogan made them. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest taking on The Miz and John Morrison. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest are going to win. Duh. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Cesaro is going to win. I mean, I don't see the point of doing this unless Cesaro wins. I guess I'm predicting a lot of baby faces to go over, I guess. Raw Tag Team Championship, New Day, take on AJ Styles and Almas. AJ Styles and Almas are going to win because so many baby faces are going over. And, you know, I'm not interested in New Day as Tag Team Champions anymore. I don't know what they're going to do with them. I don't know if they can even split them up. But at least AJ Styles and Almas would be something different. Shane McMahon taking on Braun Strowman in a steel cage match. I actually think Shane's going to win. They're going to find a way to screw this storyline up. They really should book Braun, but you know, I'm trying to think like WWE. I would guess we're going to get some kind of debut or something like that. Shane's going to win somehow by hook or crook. Then we have the just terrible tag team turmoil match. Naomi, Lana, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Riot Squad, Natalya, and Tamina.
I have no idea who's going to win this, and it really doesn't matter. Theoretically, it should be a babyface team, since Nia and Baszler are heels. So that leaves you Naomi and Lana and the Riot Squad. I hope it's the Riot Squad, because I actually care about them as a tag team. But it's probably not going to be, because God forbid we push the Riot Squad. But whatever. Chances are it's probably going to be Naomi and Lana, and that's dumb. Night two, that means you're at a WWE Women's Tag Team match, tag title match would be Nia and Shayna taking on Naomi and Lana. Naomi and Lana win. Duh. And Nia and Baszler split up, go their own separate ways, probably feud for a while, going out of it. Your other matchup for night two would be Universal Championship, Roman Reigns taking on Edge and Daniel Bryan. I actually think that Roman Reigns is going to come out of this as the world champion. I don't know, why. It's just so many people think that, Edge has to win the championship. And they're not going to go with Daniel Bryan. But I'm sorry. I just see them keeping the belt on Roman Reigns for a lot longer. I mean, they've shown here in the time of COVID, a tendency to leave titles, especially the world title, on people who have the title for a really long time and be more patient than they have in the past because, they're not in front of live crowds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With us not knowing exactly when WWE might go out into the world and start doing live shows consistently, I think they leave the belt on Roman Reigns as long as they're not doing that. And even maybe after that, I don't think they're in a hurry to take the belt off of him. I do see him retaining. I don't think anybody else has predicted that though. Raw Women's Championship, Asuka take on Rhea Ripley. Now that Rey's a heel, let's try to think. I'm trying to think of baby faces on Raw. I would guess that they're probably gonna give it to Rey. Since there's some talk about maybe Ronda and Becky coming back, one of those two are bound to come to Raw. So there's your instant matchup right there. That would be a cool moment on the Raw after WrestleMania. Have Rey come out and celebrate. Be bragging about how she walks into WWE and is already the women's champion. And have Becky come out and be like, you haven't beat the man yet. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I could see them doing something like that. So I'm going to go ahead and say Rhea Ripley wins this. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, taking on Randy Orton. The Fiend's going to win. It's the only way they can, it's the only finish they can really go with. Nothing else really makes sense. Intercontinental Championship, Big E, taking on Apollo Crews. They really should put the belt on Apollo Crews. It makes a lot more sense. But they're supposed to be trying to give Big E kind of a more serious run. And this is really his only feud he's really had, except for Sami Zayn, as the Intercontinental Champion. So I don't think that there's enough time yet to move on from Big E. I think maybe a couple more feuds will be up to about 200-something days at that point. But they really should go with Apollo Crews. But Big E, I think, retains. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens is going to win. He did a lot of good work for WWE this year. I just don't see them making him lose to Sami. I don't care how much he probably politicked for it, because Sami needs that kind of credibility. But I just don't see it. United States Championship, Matt Riddle taking on Sheamus. Sheamus is going to win the title. And those are your 2 days of cards. It's going to be an interesting show. I have heard that a lot of people are not looking forward to it necessarily, or disappointed by the build coming here in WrestleMania. But by and large, it seems like a lot of those people are basically admitting that they're going to watch it. So not sure how fruitful that conversation is. I'm looking forward to Lashley and Drew McIntyre. I think that match could be really, really good. I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Riddle and Sheamus is like sneaky good. I think we're getting a couple matches that actually surprise us. The problem is that's never the question. The question, like I've heard a lot of people say this too, is that it's not that they think the matches will be bad. It's just that none of the stories were really deserving of being on WrestleMania. And that seems to be the massive like takeaway, that WWE poorly built this WrestleMania. Anyways, it was a short night, guys. So hopefully we all come together and enjoy WrestleMania tomorrow. And then night two will be fast approaching. And then right after that, we'll be right back here on Monday Night Raw. And then Tuesday night will be NXT. So pretty much I will dedicate my life to wrestling podcasts. It is what it is. I'll at least do it for a little while longer. All right. Thank you for listening to DWB. I am your host, Joey Reckless. That is your SmackDown recap and our predictions for WrestleMania 37. I hope you guys all enjoy Mania. And remember, it once was great, not so long ago, in the 90s and the 80s. It wasn't always like this. Sadly, we have arrived in an era where WWE has forgotten how to book properly. Anyways, take care.